Yes, here we go. Got my wee mate on, Paul Caddis. How you doing, pal? All right?
Very well, mate. Thank
good
you.
To have you on. We need to mention we're in Marsanta in Merchant City. Mate, they do tremendous jam sannies.
Oh, unbelievable. Just love a jam sandwich.
You still vegan?
No, I've not been vegan for... I was only vegan for about 3 months. And just jam sandwiches every day.
What's the big man play? That's the worst. What's he playing at? Big Charlie?
Oh, that's Charlie in a nutshell, isn't it? Try to stitch me up.
Dylan, you still on the Chinese's for pre-match?
Pre-match, night before, morning, and then after.
You're actually looking well, mate.
I'm just trying to keep fit. Obviously without a club in there, so just trying to keep fit and eat better.
Can I believe he's without a club? Need to say, any manager watching, get this guy signed. Mate, what's happening? Why in the club?
I don't know, it's just difficult at the moment. Obviously, most teams have spent their budget or whatever and they've got full-backs, but just got to try and stay positive and hopefully get some.
You can still play SPL easy, nah?
I'd like to think so. I've had a half-decent career and obviously we'll touch on that later on, but I'm still fit and I'm still young. I'm only 31, but it seems to be old in football these days.
Wife and kids as well. It's hard, isn't it? People didn't see this side of football. I've been there without a club. It's the worst, eh?
It is hard, aye. It's my oldest 7 now, Summer, and my youngest has just started school there. So Summer's at an age where she's starting to get mates and stuff like that. So I had to tell her the other day that we're probably going to be moving back to Scotland, and I didn't get done well.
Oh, tears
in it. It's hard. Like, I had to walk away. Haley done it.
Oh, a nightmare.
It's horrible, but.
On a brighter note, so 10 years time, my two wee boys will be taking them out. Don't worry about that. Right, we're going to talk about the career, mate. People didn't know this, but what I love about you is you're actually for the scheme.
The scheme, aye. Born and bred.
Was it on Thank?
On Thank. Stayed there last night.
Marvin Bears used to cut your hair.
Aye. Happy as Larry, could not be happier.
What was that like growing up
there? Do you know what? I actually got asked to be in that.
Maybe you told me that, eh?
My big brother was buzzing, he was like, ah, yes, this will be starting my acting career and stuff like that. So they came to the house and just said, we want you to be the success story of the scheme. I was like, no chance, full of fucking junkies and rockets and that. I'm thinking, no chance. I'd get absolute slaughtered for it, but nah.
What was it like growing up there, rough?
Like every scheme, aye. They paint it out to be a lot worse than what it is, but it's like every scheme, had its rough times, aye. Mm. But keeps you grounded for the rest of your life, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. And you started off at Rangers. I know a lot of people know that as well. I remember playing against you. Wee right winger you were.
Aye, I started there when I was about 13, maybe. Played with the Ayrshire Rangers, and you had to do well at the Ayrshire Rangers basically to get to the Glasgow Rangers, who was the proper Rangers. And I remember we played the pitch just across from Ibrox, the Astro pitch. Played there, and there was a guy, it was Dick Advocaat was manager at the time, it was Jan Derks, a guy called Jan Derks, who was head of youth, and I scored 4 that day, and we drew 4 each or something, and I ended up getting called up to the Glasgow Rangers, and I was there for 2-3 years maybe.
And what made you leave, just Celtic coming in?
I was a Celtic fan, but I'll be honest, I absolutely loved it at Rangers. It was, just enjoyed it, just being a proper club and
who
stuff
else was
like
that, like Stevie Lennon or?
Stevie Lennon.
Jordan McMillan
was there, aye. Trying who else? Remember like Hodgie and stuff.
Hodgie and stuff like that. Gilmer.
Yeah,
good team.
It's them. So, it was good. And then what happened? The guy Jim Beggins for Ayrshire, who scouted for Celtic, asked me to go there, and I was just a Celtic fan. And I remember going up and training at Science Parks and signed the first night. I probably regretted it, to be honest.
Did you?
I remember going home and thinking. But I think it was just because it was new, and I was like, to my dad, like, oh, fuck, I don't know if I wanted to do that. And he's like, it's done now, but I can speak to them and we can try and get you back to Rangers. So I was like, no, I'll just see how it is. But after a couple of weeks, I think it's just because it was new and I was young and I didn't know anybody at all. Whereas when I was at Rangers, I was going up with Steve Lennon, who I grew up with, and Kilmarnock and stuff like that. And it was new for me, but eventually it was all right.
What a player the boy Ferry was, eh?
Unbelievable. You're the top man. You're the top man.
Oh, times have changed it. What, Tommy Burns, how good was he with you?
Tommy was... I got a lot to thank Tommy for. When I first went in, though, it was mere Jimmy Mack.
Jim
McAnally, basically got me a deal. Tommy and Willie were a bit iffy about giving me a full-time contract, so Jimmy Mack managed to persuade them into 6 months. So I got 6 months and there was 5 or 6 who's got deals, but they all get 3 years.
nearly got a 6 month.
I got 6 months. Aye. So Tommy pulled me in and said, next 6 months, work your nuts off. After about 3 months, he pulled me in and said, delighted with you. And then for that day, he just had a soft spot for me. And he just looked after me and knew that I'd worked hard and I would never get above my station, and he just nurtured me all the way up.
Because when you were a wee winger, like, you were brilliant at one. So who was it
Tommy put me back. Tommy put
me
back.
Did he tell you why?
To toughen me up. He said they wanted me to be tougher. Like, remember it was a game at Barrowfield, I think it was for Hearts. Remember Hearts were all these big physical boys. I was getting lumps kicked at me. And after that, Tommy in training had said to me, we're going to put you... He said, listen, it's only for a few games. Don't think you've done anything wrong with the rest of it. It's just we want to toughen you up a bit. Play at fullback. I done all right, and you know what it's like at Celtic, as a fullback, you very rarely defend, so pretty much playing as a winger anyway. So enjoyed it, and I've just stayed there since.
Youth team, high calibre back then, but the quality was tremendous, wasn't it?
Unbelievable, aye, it's obviously, you were, no joke, like, you were top dog, I'm not taking...
Keep talking, mate.
Taking the piss. And then you'd Michael McGlinchey was a player, wasn't he?
Paul McGowan.
Gowser. It was just, the standard was fucking very good.
But you got pushed up quite quick, Kaz, didn't you? Played in the year above, same as me.
We played the under-19s Youth Cup, remember it? Against Hearts at Celtic Park. You'd played with them for a while, I think, didn't you? And me and Mark Muller come up for a couple of games then. We played in that at 16, 17 maybe. I got pushed up with Kenny McDill for, I remember the reserve game away to Hibs, and it was back four, it was like me, Big Bobo. It was Kendall playing. Kendall and somebody else at left back. I was thinking, fucking hell, man. It's brilliant. Like, that was my first time. I was only about 17 playing the reserves. And so I pushed up quite a lot, but still, I'd still come back down and play them on level.
Kenny McDowell could be ruthless, eh?
Oh, Kenny McDowell, remember the Fridays?
Oh, my God.
And there wasn't any leeway at all. No.
Have you never done it? You had to do it again.
300 metres in a minute.
Then 600 at 2:15.
To get your weekend off. Fuck.
You used to stand on the side. You'd have got his side of his pitch. Oh, yeah, you can't.
Oh, he was ruthless, Kenny, wasn't he?
Brilliant, too.
Ah, he was very good. I like Kenny.
But see the laughs that we got back then. Danny McGrain. Tell Danny McGrain. Because you were a right back, obviously. Danny was a right back.
Danny's one of the guys. He's an absolute legend, but he just can't get it out, can he? What he's trying to say. He's fucking... No, he's brilliant, Danny. Some stories. I remember playing... I waited on Fermanagh in the reserves and big Snowy sitting up. Snowy's quite religious. It's about 5 minutes before we go out. He's got a towel where his heat and spraying. And Danny's like, hey! It's fucking 5 minutes to kick off. Get that fucking towel off your head. Big man was praying.
He hated Snowy, mate.
He
used to
batter
Snowy all the time.
He was good, Danny, but he had his moments,
aye. Youth team as well, some laugh, innit?
Youth team, I remember when I first went into youth team. In fact, I wasn't even full time at the time. Tommy invited me in to train for 2 weeks in the Easter holidays or something. I remember walking in and Tommy's like, this is show me about Barrowfield and that.
I remember.
He's opened up the door and there's a treatment table. And Midge, his Gardine's got Gary Fraser bent air banging him doggy. And Tommy's flung me out the way, shut the door, and went absolute mental at him. But the stories were brilliant. Even when we were in there, and the first team used to change at Celtic Park, travel there, and it was like Big Sutty and Hartson and Lennon and that, and used to come in, and you probably remember, they turn the lights off and just fucking volleyballs, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Turn the lights off, pitch back in the dressing room, you just have to take cover, and they just start smacking balls everywhere. It's carnage.
But even in our, I've heard you speaking about it before, even in our training, it was fights all the time, wasn't it?
Aye, it's different now, isn't it? Back then, it was, Willie used to love it. Tommy used to love it, fights, wee Walsh, he was always about to fight with everybody. The Irish guy, aye. He was always about to fight with everybody, yeah. The intensity was...
The 3v3s in the box.
Ah, 3v3s were brilliant. It was good. I loved it. It was brilliant.
But yeah, I think you've told me a story about maybe Wally would be trying to split the fights up and Tommy would be then, oh.
Wally would be like, hey, that's enough. And Tommy's at the side going, oh, he's a man for you. Winding up.
He loved it, eh?
Tommy loved it, aye.
Right, mate, memories of first getting called to train the first team?
Down the back at Barrowfield, and I think it was a Monday or something, and the first team were only doing like five-a-sides, but I think it was about sixes got called down. There was two small five-a-side pitches, so 20 players, and I remember going down, and think it's the best. I remember scoring a goal. I think it's the best goal I've ever scored. It's unbelievable. And I thought, fucking hell, this is decent. But then, I think it was a couple of weeks later, I trained maybe once or twice a week with him a couple of times. And I remember then crossing and finishing with Big Hartson and that. And I was putting fucking, well, I thought they were unbelievable. Boys whipped them round defenders and that. And he shouted, "Oi! I'm fucking 6 foot that way, fucking 6 foot that way. Put the fucking thing up in the air and let me head it." I was like, fucking hell. And Lenny and that were like, would shout at Kenny and that, "What the fuck's he doing here? He's not fucking good." Not just about me, but just about young boy in general. "He's not fucking good enough to be here."
Would you get nervous? Would that affect you? Or would you just say, "I'll show them"? Or
No, it was nerve-wracking. Like, these were fucking big players. Like, that, when we were young, the dressing room was full of big characters, but sort of Lenny, Tomo was nasty as fuck. Man. They were horrible, but it grounded you, didn't it? It used to be terrible. See, nowadays, boys will walk in dressing rooms. Young boys don't give a shit. You used to be terrified to walk into that dressing room. You knew you were getting hammered. Big Sutty used to say to you a lot, didn't he? "Oh, youngin, when you're fucking working McDonald's, make sure you give my kids extra chips."
I loved it, Tommy.
Oh, they were brilliant.
What about manager-wise? Was it Gordon Strachan that first called you up?
That was under Martin O'Neill. That was only because injury, they needed players, right, basically, to make your numbers up. But first proper trained of them was Strachan, and then I was there quite regularly under Strachan. The first couple of times I get called up, I remember been down the bottom at Leonardstown and Gary Payne just shouted, "Caddy!" I'm fucking buzzing, coming up through me a bit. "Do the line, kid."
Linesman.
I'm slinging. So I get bombed for the reserves to go and be a linesman for the first team.
See, when you, I mean, spoke to like Charlie McGrew, Aidan and stuff like that. See, when you used to get the shout to go and train in the first team, was it yes, buzzing, or was it, "Oh no, I'd rather stay the reserves"?
Dreading it. Terrifying.
That's terrible that it's like that.
It is like that, but it was just, I think that was done to, obviously, the manager. I was terrified of the manager, but I think nowadays you don't get as much respect for senior pros as what we probably respected senior pros, and they used to dish it out fucking non-stop, didn't they? They were cut to the bone stuff. They were harsh with you, but it kept you grounded. But no, I remember the early days when the first team were at Barrowfield and we used to get changed in the away dressing room at Celtic Park. Yeah. And sometimes Wally come in and go, "Oh, Cads, Si, you're with the first team," and you'd think, "Oh, fuck, man, that'd be you for the next 45 minutes. Think, "Oh, I wonder what we're going to do." Fuck.
That was what the talk in the car was doing. "I hope we didn't do this.
Oh, fuck." That was scary. And then I was terrified of Strachan. Strachan was on me non-stop.
He was on you a bit, wasn't he?
Non-stop.
But that's because he liked you as well.
Aye, but I found that out. Listen, he looked after him. He's fucking done very well for my career, but I was terrified.
Tell the one about the one where, have you scored into that goal?
So we're doing a game, it was like 10v10, it was quite a smallish pitch. If you scored into that goal, you instantly flipped round and defended the goal that you just scored into. So I'm running, fucking, we're scoring, and I'm going for right back here to right back there, then we're scoring, and I'm going that. And he stopped it, and he's like, "What are you doing?" Do you know how we used to just go, "What are you doing?" And just look at it, and you feel about that size, and you'd be like, "Just going to right back." He'd be like, "Look at me, I'm Caddy, I'm just a wee right back."
That was so funny.
I didn't know where to look at him. He was just on me non-stop.
Even the warm-up, Gaz Pendry would be on you as well, wouldn't he?
Gaz Pendry. We used to do these, it's like a technique warm-up, inside the foot, outside the foot. And he would stop and he'd be like, "Right, everybody stop. Look at Caddy, he can't do this."
"Let's watch you," and everyone would just stand and watch
everybody just stand and watch me, fucking 20 boys and me make an absolute cunt of myself and the bag of nerves trying to flick things with the corner. That was horrible.
But see, looking back, did that stand you in good stead for the rest of your career?
See, honestly, for the day I've left Celtic, I've never feared, no fear that
anyone ahead.
I've never been worried about getting hammered for a manager, because he was fucking,
Do you think he did that because he seen something in you?
Definitely.
Did he ever tell you that?
He told me the day he left. He phoned me when he left and said that I was hard way, etc. If you ever need anything, you know where I'm and that. He was brilliant for my career, but I was terrified at that club for 4 years.
Right, but as you say, you must have liked as a player. Gave you your debut at 19. You remember the debut?
I came on against Falkirk or that game.
Yeah.
I don't remember it too much. No, I think I come on for Zico, Paul Hartley. Going right back, about 20 minutes to go, and we're 1-0 up. And I thought to myself, fucking hell, that's a bit of a gamble for him, throwing me on. We 1-0 up away to Falkirk. I think we won the game, but I don't remember too much of it, to be honest. I remember being in and about it and training with him and stuff like that, and But I never ever thought I'd go on, because we used to sit in the, like, we used to sit on the bench a lot, but back then, I think, me and you used to sit on the bench because we had to, because it was under 21 rule, wasn't it?
Was it Mowbray that called the meeting?
Tony Mowbray hammered us, didn't he? No, hammered us, but he was like, I mean, we've got players on the bench that shouldn't really be on the bench because it's under 21 rule.
What about that win bonus, though?
Aye, unbelievable. Even if you sat in the stand, you get a
fucking see with the Falkirk game too, did you have any inclination that you were going to get on?
Nah, never was tracking.
I mean, have you been any words of encouragement before you went on, or was it?
No, you know what it was like you'd have the fitness coach on the bench, go warm up, the boys would go warm up, and you'd come back, get your gear off and that, but you'd never really see anything, just right, you're going right back. Alright. And then the choice set pieces, it was a constant fucking task with him, it was hard work with him.
Uh-huh. Was your mum or dad at the game?
No, I don't think so. No, they weren't at that game. No, I didn't. I was on the bench. I'd been on the bench for quite a few games and never got one. I never really thought I'd ever get one. Mm. But no, I don't think they were there, no.
And then you started a week later, battering Killy 5 on the cup. How was that to start a game for
Good, Celtic? That's my home team as well, Kamala. So, listen, it was...
You done really well, I remember it.
Set up the first goal and... Do you know what, actually, see, after about 20 seconds, we took kick-off and the ball came back to me and I went to take a touch and under my foot and out of the pitch. After 20 seconds, my debut, I was thinking, oh, shit. And I played against Willie Gibson, right? And see, the week before, played in the reserves and Willie Gibson ripped me a new arsehole. Tore me to shreds.
Was it Peterhead to me, huh?
Was he? Uh-huh. And I remember after the game, Gary Pendry's like, you gotta get your fucking hammered me, like, get your act together. He gave me Gary Pendry, called it a lollipop, and he went to shoot and I gave it all that and he's done me and scored. And then a week after, I remember seeing it, I was thinking, oh, fuck, he told me a new one last week, but I was all right after about 5 minutes, you get a fucking proper touch of the ball and that, and then I set Scotty's goal up, Scott McDonald's first goal up, and I felt fine after that.
How were the older boys when you made your debut? Anyone that would come and give you a bit of advice?
Before the game, not really, no, there was, everybody just kind of kept themselves to themselves and done their own things, but there's some big guys, Caldwell was good with me. Big Elvis when he came to the club was brilliant.
Big Elvis loved you, mate.
Big Elvis was brilliant with me.
Because when you used to meet Mark Aidan in training, right? You'd always like Aidan.
Well done, Cardi.
Like anything you would do against.
Could be anything. Aidan could take a shot and shank it wide, but brilliant, Cardi. You've got him on toast, kid. Aidan would hate it.
Brilliant. Right, as you say, you made your debut and you were doing well, mate, but did you ever contemplate Barcelona? I remember the build up to that week and we were saying to you, we think you'll play, and you were like, nah,
everybody was saying, nah, I think you'll play, I think you'll play, and I thought, nah. Because Willow was back fit, and I thought, nah. He'd only been training for maybe 10 days or something. I was thinking, nah, he's going to play him. Or he could have played Gaz right back and Big Daz centre-half, because Daz had played as well. And nah, I never thought, that was a thing I'm trying. I never, ever, no idea at all, nothing. It just gave you no inkling at all. And I remember, I think we went out in the morning. We used to stay at the Hilton, so we went out training the day shape that morning. And do you know what? I think he picked like the front players and didn't really mention much today with the defenders. I didn't really find out until an hour and a half before kickoff. But I'm thinking to myself, has he done that so that I don't go home and like,
get nervous,
go back to the hotel and think about it and all the rest of it? But you know, like, I don't get nervous at games. I've never ever get nervous at games. I wasn't nervous. So I knew that it's a win-win situation.
But did you know that Ronaldinho, who was probably the best player in the world at the time, did you know that he would... Did you know you'd be up against him straight away as soon as he mentioned... He named a team...
As soon as he named the team, I was like, fucking hell, man, that's... Closest I get to these guys was playing fucking against them in FIFA or something like that, and then I just think, do you know what? Fucking enjoy it. I just kept saying to myself, go and enjoy it. It's fucking... Might never get a chance again, and then you go out and that music comes on and the place is bouncing, and I remember when the music comes on, I'm thinking, fuck, I want to... It was quite a dash to get tickets, like I had to try and get my mum and dad tickets and stuff like that quickly, like an hour and a half before kick-off, and they had to travel up and all the rest of it. I'm like, fuck, I wonder if they've made it here in time, and I'm thinking stuff like that rather than the game, but no, it was unbelievable.
Was there any instruction face tracking to how to kind of go about stopping Ronaldinho?
Nah.
No?
No. No.
That's fucking madness, isn't it?
Madness. Like? He used to just set the team up. He wouldn't go out his way to say, you need to do it. So he obviously trusted me.
So what was your thoughts though, when you were playing against him, what was your thoughts, nail him quick?
My thoughts were...
You didn't like tackling?
No. Cheers. I hope managers are not listening.
No, but you read it better than tackling, do you know what I mean?
My thoughts were, fucking hell, any chance of a bit of help for Naka?
That's not who you want in front of you either, is it?
Big Abidal was bombing bombing past Knackers still, and I was like, fucking hell. No, I just thought, the first couple of times I got close to him, right, and I remember him backing in, and he winded me.
What was
that? He's a unit, man. Uh-huh. Couldn't believe how strong he was, and just couldn't get him. But I done all right. I wasn't great. Wasn't horrendous, but I just thought try and get close to him and just be a bit of a pain in the ass with him. But that team was unbelievable. Messi on the other side. Messi stayed the other side. I didn't know what to come to the life because he knew I was playing right back.
See, when you were playing that game against those players, are you showing for the bother time? Do you want the bother time, or are you kind of just happy to get through the game? And they'll make a mistake.
No, but play against them, you don't have much of the ball. Mm. So there was never really play out for the back. And like, I know Celtic, we tried to do that, but you're playing against them, you're happy just to get a throw in at times. See, when you play at Celtic Park against teams like that, see, getting into their half, trying to get a cross in the box, if they're throwing, the place are ups. Uh-huh. So you think, fucking hell, get a throw in here, fucking 60 years to go, everybody's buzzing. You know what I mean? But no, you do try and show for it, you try and play your own game, but it's hard against players like that, because you're mindful if I'm trying to show for it too wide and it gets cut out, I'm never getting back in. These players are world class, I'm not going to get anywhere near them.
So it's probably a good game to go into the net, because you're not expected to go
into
people.
No, that's what I mean. I knew straight away, no matter what, it's a win-win situation for me. If I don't do well, then it was my first start at Celtic Park.
Is that the best, your first start at Celtic Park, but is that the best atmosphere you've encountered in your career?
Oh, unbelievable. Amazing, aye. I sat on the bench quite a lot of games it's different when you're actually standing and seeing you standing in that line and Champions League music comes on and all the fans go mad, and that's fucking unbelievable. Then we went 2-0 up, went into 2-1 at half time.
Wow.
Big Jan scored, and then Robbo scored a header for the edge of the box. Went to Valdez.
Valdez, so it did, you remember the road when the goal went in,
Ah, it's unbelievable. And then Messi scored, I think, 40 minutes or something. We went in 2-1 up. I'm fucking buzzing.
So see, at half-time, the whistle goes, you think, I've done great here, I'm going to...
Half-time, I'm just thinking, 2-1 up, I'm buzzing. That's my debut, we're 2-1 up. I've come in and... and Strachan's fucking on me. He's on me, like, he's like, fucking hell, Cas, can you not see fucking Puyol playing Deco and...
No, it was Marquez.
Marquez. Can you not see Marquez said... playing his fucking diagonals right onto... Ronaldinho's toes get fucking tighter, get closer. When you see that coming, you start getting closer. I'm just going, aye. Tommy Burns has come up about 5 minutes later. He went, when they sharpen off there, wee man. I went, what do you mean? He's like, Gaffer. You should have said, Gaffer. I seen them, but I was too busy. Like, oh, what the fucking pass that is. And that just cut me down again. And I was like, Tommy was brilliant at that. He was unbelievable, man.
Yeah, but it was because of Tommy. He maybe played quite a lot in the first team.
I think Tommy maybe instilled me a trust in Strachan to, like, listen, trust him and give him a shot. And back then, though, there was a lot of players coming through the youth, and it was a thing at Celtic. There was loads of players coming through the youth, so I think that helped, and all.
Uh-huh. Right, despite 2-1 up, big guys gave the ball away, Henry scores. Would you ever go at guys for doing that?
Nah, I did a fuck. Yeah. Nah. I always felt as if I had to earn the respect of the first team first. I remember a couple of boys in the first team, you probably remember yourself, don't you? They'd never really speak much to you. And then see when I get in the dressing room, it's completely different. It's as if you earned their respect. Get in the dressing room, Strachan's last year, and boys just started speaking to you a bit more, and some boys would just walk past you, the first team boys, it's just how it was. They wouldn't even say anything, but then you start to just small things like the same auntie, you'd sit with you at breakfast, if you're all sitting in there yourself at breakfast, they'd come sit with you, just things like that. So you almost as if you had to earn the respect, and that was the same with Gaz. And I remember he tried to pass it to me, he tried to play it to me, and I'm standing right in behind it. And as soon as he took a touch and that ball's left his foot, I knew it was a goal. He just bent it around Gaz into the top corner. It was unbelievable.
And then you get taken off after 60 minutes. You a bit disappointed to be taken off? You wouldn't have done anything wrong, were you?
I was, right. I was disappointed, but then, see, after the game, it was horrible, but I thought, buzzing, I come off at 2-each and not 3-2. I was fucking buzzing. Come off at 2-each and brought Will on. And I still don't know to this day why it happened. But
they never pull you after it and tell you, like, speak about that game I taught you?
Nah, never. Strachan was more so me than most, I think. Like, I remember coming on against Aberdeen at half-time. I think we needed to win to go top or stay up there or something. And I think it was Andy Hinkle who got injured and I came on at half time and it was quite flat first half. I remember getting the ball straight for kickoff, played one early tap, Sammy's dinked early goalie, hit the post, nearly scored and the place got a bit of a lift. We done well. Last minute, we scored, we went up 1-0 and then about the 85th, 86th minute, Lee Muller's just about to tap it in and I've just got the slightest toe, cleared it off the line.
I remember that as well.
I done well and I kind of gave the place a bit of a lift and after the game I think, fucking hell, I've done all right here. I've set up a few decent chances. Not a word. Uh-huh. After the game, I was thinking, surely he's going to say well done. Not a word, right? This was a Saturday, the following Friday. We're in a pre-match meeting doing set pieces or whatever you do. Normally last 10, 15 minutes. After about 10 minutes, he's on doing this and he's been like that. Press pause and went, Caddy, I tell you done well last week. And I'm thinking, wait, what's the answer here? Did I say, you tell me? Then I'm thinking, if I say no, all the boys are going to think, look at him like the gaffer to say well done. I was like, aye, he went, okay. And then press play.
I remember that. That was so strange, wasn't it?
He was fucking so hard. Like, I remember getting an Arsenal to go on loan.
Because that's what I was going to say, you only played one more time after that.
Aye.
So, how long were you building up to ask him to go on loan?
Oh, months. Months.
Everyone saying to you, go and ask him.
Go and ask him. I remember the first team boys, senior boys saying, listen, go and fucking get on him, you should be playing. Get on him, you should get more chances. And I thought, aye, I will. And months. Every morning, I come in, I'm driving up to Kilmarnock, I'm thinking, this is it. Building the courage up. As soon as you open up the doors and you see him like, Mullen Gaffer. Shite yourself. So I built the courage up and I went in and I knocked on his door and he's like, come in. And he didn't know it was me at the time. He's opened up the door and he's like, Caddy? And he just looked at me and went, yes? I went, Gaffer, I was like, just not been playing much and I'm stuttering and fucking bagging ears. Like, just wondering, do you think it'd be good if I went out and loan? He went, no. And that was it. He just looked at me and went, that you? I went, yeah, he went, okay. Walked through it, that was it.
Do you wish you'd maybe gave more, but I'm sorry, anyway.
And then, to be fair, about 2 weeks later, actually, he called me in and went, Caddy, Dundee United are Hibs. I didn't know what he was talking about. I went, Dundee United, went, good choice. Craig Levine phone you the next hour.
That was it.
That was me, gone. I went to thingy.
Do you wish he gave you more as a kid?
Do you wish he gave me more? I don't. I quite enjoyed that tough love. Because it set me up now for my career. But maybe when I was back then, I'd probably think, should I have maybe pushed it a wee bit more, went in and been away. But I just had so much respect for him and so much respect for Celtic as a club. Obviously, I loved it and I was a fan in that. But I just thought, should I have maybe pushed it a wee bit more and said, I want to play more? Because I think sometimes that helps if you can get a manager and say, listen, I want to play here, I'm not happy just sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And sometimes that plants that wee seed in their head.
Because I remember at that time, me, like you said, the first team were telling you should be playing. Me, I thought you should be playing. Did you think you should have been playing more, like ahead of Willow and Hinkle? I know it's a big question to ask you, but...
At times, I think I merited to play, I do. At times, I remember doing well in training and stuff like that, and I think... I should have probably got a better chance, but listen, he knows better than most, and I just went along with it.
How was Hinkle away? Strange guy, wasn't he, Hinkle?
And he's, do you remember his joke he told in his initiation?
We are sinking.
The fucking worst joke ever, man. He was a weird guy. He was a nice guy, but he was a weirdo, wasn't he?
Did he give you any tips or pointers?
Willow was good. Mark Wilson was really good. Andy just kept himself to himself. He was quiet, but Willow was good. To be fair, Willow would say himself at times, listen, go in and speak to him and tell him what you should be. Willow's probably tell me to do that.
So he didn't.
So Gaffer goes, fuck off, get out of here.
Brilliant. Right, in the first team, mate, some big players come. I love your Tommy Gravison story. Two. One, he used to take you home, didn't he?
Tommy used to take me to the train station, aye. And
how did that come about? One day, did he just say?
So we used to phone a taxi, me and Mark Muller. So we used to phone a taxi and we're sitting at reception and Tommy would... Couple of days, he just walked past, say bye, and then one day, he'd be like, where he's gone, at Central Station. I see you here every day, why is you just ask me? I was like, we'd never ask you for a lift. So for about 3-4 weeks in a row, he'd take us into Central, we didn't want to think anything there. Every day, he'd take us in. After about a month, I'd be like, Tommy, where is it you live? He's like, if you come out Celtic Park, la, you turn left, I stay 20 minutes out. He stayed fucking 40 minutes for Central Station. He used to take us in there every day.
He was just so lonely,
He was such a nice guy. He done some mental things. Come back from Barrowfield, you used to have to wait. You come back from Barrowfield and you turn right again to Celtic Park. And everybody would be waiting because of oncoming traffic. But Tommy would go in that lane thing and put his hand at the window and indicate. He was fucking mental. And then he'd get to the reception, just walk past the lady at the reception and just go like that. And start hitting the keyboard. He was fucking mental. Crazy.
What about, obviously, Stratton didn't get on with him. Maybe he's on the 11. The ball got switched here.
And then he didn't get on with him, so he was training with... I was training with Willie, the reserves, and by this time I was training every day with the first team, and we were doing 11v11 down the back at Barrowfield, and for whatever reason, we were training down there, and then the reserve team were coming on straight after we'd done the 11v11, so the game's going on, and somebody's played this big Diag team, and Tommy's sitting at the side, and there's this big traffic cone. There used to be traffic cones down there for some reason. Tommy's sitting with this big traffic cone, and just as I'm about to take my touch, Tommy picks up a traffic cone and shouts, "Time, caddy, time!" Stacking's like, "I'm fucking out of here." He was just fucking some guy.
Oh, tremendous, I love it. Right, I need to mention a couple of guys who did look after you. Paul Hartley was brilliant, wasn't he?
Zico was brilliant with me, aye. And the first team, really good. Just every day, on the pitch, off the pitch, he'd phone me, look after me in the hotel, make sure everything was all right. He was brilliant. Gar Caldwell, the same. Big Elvis, when he came, Big Elvis had a soft spot for me, I don't know why, but he was brilliant with me, and the first team boys were good too.
Aidan was your pal as well.
Aidan was good, Aidan. I think it helped with Aidan, because it's almost, obviously Aidan's went on an unbelievable career, much better than obviously myself and that, but I think it helped that he came through the youth and all, and he probably nervous, maybe not so much Aidan, he obviously had understood what it meant to come through and stuff like that, so he was good and all.
Obviously you said that you thought Strachan hated you, but him and Aidan were tremendous. You were there when, was it Jim Blythe that all kicked off?
Jim Blythe in the dressing
room. So he was arguing with Strachan first?
So basically, right, Aidan, you know what Aidan was like, always wanted the ball. So Strachan kept saying to Aidan at half time, "Fucking stay wide, stop coming in and stay wide and we'll get the ball." He's like, "I'm not getting the ball, I'm not getting the ball." He's like, "I'm telling you, just fucking stay wide." And then just escalated. And then Jim Blythe said something, and I think Aidan said something about, "Oh, shut the fuck up, Jim," or something like that. And Jim Blythe says to him, "I'm telling you, son, I'm your fucking worst nightmare. Don't you speak to me like that." And it just escalated that way.
Did Aidan not get a bit off his head though, Jim Blythe?
Oh, something like that happened, but we all get totally disappeared. Basically, we get fucked into the masseur bit at the back.
Oh, tremendous, man. Personal life was ending up in the papers. You remember when you first got told that was going to be in the paper?
I never got told it was going to be in the paper.
Did you know that?
No. So, the story behind that was, we went, do you know how we used to go Celtic, we'd go and say, like, Shamrock Rovers, for instance, we're opening up a stadium, Celtic would send a team over. So we went earlier and played. Just before I left to go earlier, my mate texted me saying, "Listen, this lassie's saying that she's pregnant and you're the dad."
The daddy, huh?
I'm Caddy's the daddy. And I'm like, "Oh, no chance." So it was fine, but then it started playing in my head. I'm thinking, fucking hell, man, what if this is? You know what it's like, your young boy, you start thinking, my career's fucked, all the rest of it. You just think the worst. So I went out to Ireland, and I honestly had the worst game I've ever played. And as we spoke about Elvis, loved me, and Gaz Caldwell. And they two played centre-half that day, and it's as if the two of them had been speaking to each other, and then after dinner that night, we stayed in the hotel after dinner, they pulled me and I'm like, "Listen, we can tell something's wrong here. That's not like you just one day you're same." He says, "We can all have bad games, but there was something not right about you there. We've not seen that for you." And I ended up I just told him. I was like, just things this lassie said or the rest of it. And while I was in Ireland, she went to my house, told mum and dad, turned off the house, bold as brass, told them. And I come back and I remember my dad saying, "Somebody's been at the house, a lassie." I was like, "All right, I ain't getting there." So I didn't tell them, I didn't know how to say it, because I thought, "Nah, it's a lot of shite." And I didn't tell them, and then my dad had said to me, and I said, "Oh, that was it." So I was driving to... No, we played it come out after the Kilmarnock game. My debut, as if they held it.
Right.
And then it come out...
The next morning,
that morning, after I played, and my gran had died.
Oh, so she did, anyway.
My gran had died on the 15th of February, and that come out, like, 16th of February or something, so... I'm driving back for the fucking for the hospital. My mum's just lost her mum, and I went into the garage and tried to get like petrol and that. And I remember, fucking hell, that's me. And I've seen it, the first time I've seen it, it's in a petrol station. I'm filling up, and my mum's just lost her mum. I'm thinking, fucking hell, the last thing she wants is coming out and seeing that in the paper. I'm thinking myself, I've got fucking 20 quid on myself.
Buy all the papers.
I buy all the papers, so she doesn't, and all the petrol station. I'm thinking, can't I do that? She's going to see it, but nah, it was horrible. And obviously, you mentioned them for the scheme, and two reporters, there was four cars, there was two reporters and two photographers at my door for the next 3-4 days, following my mum to the supermarket, and
fuck's sake.
It just escalated like that. In fact, they didn't turn up until after the Barcelona game. So it was in the paper after the Kelly game, and then the reporters and that came, started knocking on the door and started following me and that. And
how surreal was that?
Oh, it was mental, mate. Absolutely mental. Kicking about the scheme like a fucking celebrity with people following me. Remember them following me everywhere. They were so clever though. I remember a guy coming and knocking on the door and he's sitting like this, and then I went to speak and he's just turned his body, and as he's turned his body, the guy's just started, and that's just clever. They were fucking assholes.
Did you want to sue them?
I wanted to sue them because it was slander, because it wasn't true, and I wanted to sue them. And Strachan's like, nah, because they'll come for you for the rest of your career, so don't bother. And I remember Strachan pulled me that morning, and obviously I was a bag of nerves with him and terrified, and he was fucking unbelievable, brilliant. Pulled me, he's like, you should have came and told me, and it's happened, don't worry about it, we'll support you. And he ended up banning the Sun sports team for Celtic Park for about 3 weeks.
Did he, eh?
So they didn't get any interviews like after the games, like, it was brilliant.
But it was constant jokes about it as well, wasn't it?
He pulled a meeting that morning and just fucking in front of everybody just before we started training. Everybody's seen Caddy and this girl in the paper just hammered me.
Brilliant. Again, he was on you again at an open training session at Celtic Park.
Fucking hell. Some theme this, isn't it? Used to do an open training session, and used to do this crossing and finishing drill, and it was me one side on the right, Mark Wilson the other side on the right, and Willow's fucking shanking these things everywhere into the stand, fucking kicking balls off the ground and all the rest of it. And I'm putting a couple of decent balls in, and I've put maybe one bad ball in, and he's standing behind me. He's just come up and just kind of silently whispered in my ear, this is too much for you, Caddy. Just walk down that tunnel, get your clothes on and go home, son. I'm like, it's a back in the ears, man. I used to, as if he constantly just, when I was crossed,
he would stand right there.
But then see, when I went away with Scotland, years later, we'd done the same again. He was fucking buzzing.
Brand new, yeah.
He was mad. I loved him though. As much as I've said those stuff, I loved him. Tactically and stuff like that, it was unbelievable.
Training
was
good,
training was amazing.
Gary Pendry as well, Champions League away trip. This is brilliant, man. They love keeping you grounded, didn't they?
Fucking hell, they too bullied me, didn't they? Away in the Champions League, I can't remember who it was. Aalborg, I think it was actually. I think it was played Aalborg, and trained that night at the stadium. Come back, get your shower, whatever. Get your go back down for dinner, and I'm one of the first down, and. No, sorry, I was one of the last in. I think it was me and Aidan were sharing, and I've walked in and the place is filled with everybody, and Gaz Pendry shouted for about 20 yards away, a couple of tables away, Caddy, how tall are you, kid? I'm buzzing, thinking, 5'6", 5'7", 5'8". All right, didn't know they made shit that size. Just made me feel like that, mate, and funny. And everybody's pissing themselves, and I'm like, fucking, I feel like crying.
You should have given him a bit of bite, mate.
Too much respect.
He could be harsh on the young boys as well. Right, Dundee United, you said you went on a loan. Big Craig Levein, you loved him at the time at Dundee United, didn't you?
Loved
him. What was so good about him?
Do you know what I liked about Levein? See if he'd played 500 games and you'd played 25 minutes, you were treated exactly the same.
Brilliant.
He would hammer a 35-year-old exactly the same way he'd hammer an 18-year-old. Loved him, he was just so fair. Training was high intensity, very high intensity. Never done much, Hoosty done everything. Hoosty was brilliant,
right.
Really good coach, Hoosty.
What's the worst you ever seen Levein crack, remember?
I think Hibs away, we're doing 1-0 at half time, what horrendous, and he just fucking, I'd never seen it. Wait, Strachan used to go mad, but no.
He could be cutting, but he wouldn't go mad at him.
Either eat a bit of fruit or have something on his shoe, and that's when you see if he'd something on his shoe, like that, and then he would crack, or he'd beaten a banana or something like that, and you knew he was going to crack. But Levein just had that sharpness about him, that fucking hell, he was a big guy, he was a bit of a fucking maniac, but so fair. I loved him. Brilliant.
Uh-huh. Goodwillie was there as well.
Goody, aye. Story about Goody is it's well documented. Goody was a fucking good player, but he was a loose cannon. So I can't remember what he'd done, but he must have got up to some trouble anyway. And he was always getting caught out. He was staying in Big Street, Big Lee Wilkie's house, and he was always getting caught out at night and got me women, buds and stuff like that and all the rest of it. So Levine and Peter Houston made him stay in the executive box. So he's went and brought a TV, come in one morning with a TV, an Xbox and all the rest of it. Pretty much made one of the executive boxes a house for him.
No chance. At Tannadice?
At Tannadice, he's sat in. So we finished training at 1 o'clock. He'd stay there to whenever Levine and Houston left. So say they'd leave at 6 o'clock. He would leave at 6 o'clock when they left, go home. He was told he had to phone Hoosty on the hour, every hour, up until he was going to sleep. So you have to phone Hoosty every hour saying, I'm in streakies and all that. But he was fucking, Levine was good, mate. Very good.
Maybe when you went, you were flying it, didn't you, like, weren't you?
I was doing all right. Enjoyed it.
Was it right when you played?
Played a 3-5-2 and I played wing back. I loved it.
I came and watched it. Good team. Right, you come back and Strachan eventually leaves. Just the last bit on Strachan, the last time you seen him, Scott Brown's wedding.
Aye, Strachan, so he just left that summer and was at Scott Brown's wedding. And I remember just like facing you, for instance, and something's fucked me in the back of the head. And I've turned around and Strachan's like that. I'm thinking, shit, so I had to go and speak to him, but it was fine.
What was it, a roll or something he took there?
I think it was a roll, actually. Yeah. I think it was a roll right in the back of the heat.
Oh, what a man. Bruni as well. Bruni was good for you, wasn't he?
Bruni was very good, aye. Bruni, big kipper. Chris Killeney too, were
Chris
close.
Killeney was mental, wasn't he?
Mental. They used to do, they had a hotel trip that they used to do all the time to everybody. Everybody was new, they used to. So kipper would piss in a bag, an ice bag, and pierce it with a fork. So the piss would be flying everywhere. Bang on your door, you'd open your door up and they'd launch it in and piss everywhere. You'd drive beside him if you were pulling up at Celtic Park, you'd drive beside him, you'd be like, roll the window down. And he throws like a bit of paper in and you're like, and as you're picking the paper up, he's squatting water in your window.
Obviously, when you've broken the first team, you're saying playing beside Gaz Caldwell, but behind you was Arthur Boric. How mad was he?
Mad.
Would he shout at you during games and stuff like that?
No, not really. Do you know what? See, when I get in the first team dressing room, I sat beside Arthur. I had Arthur at one side and he was quiet, but he was all right. He was sound. But it's some fucking stories of him. He was a maniac, mate. Maniac. Just flip like that. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable goalie, like, but there's quite a few with him. I remember the first time he played Rangers at Celtic Park and... You know, when you played, you used to get into gate two and you'd wait on your car coming round and you'd get in your car. And I remember everybody rushing out of gate two and I'm thinking, what the fuck's going on here? And somebody had radioed up to security saying, Arthur Boric's walking through Brickton on his own. straight after playing. So they jumped down in a minibus and went and got him. What the fuck are you doing? He didn't know, but he didn't care.
Yeah.
Other times at half time he'd have a fag in the dressing room. A fag, mate, as if he can't smell it, do you know what I mean?
He'd get to the toilet
and he'd be like, fucking hell, he's like, what are you talking about? Smoke the dressing room, he'd turn up late in taxis and stuff like that. And I remember there was something happened with Aidan and Big Daz when they were out in Glasgow one night. It made the press and Strachan was raging and Strachan called a meeting, he's like, listen, nobody goes out in Glasgow or Edinburgh anymore. I'm fed up here. He's fucking always getting himself in trouble. I don't know why he would want to do it. Fuck off to London, fuck off to Manchester. No cunt will know he's down there. He's all got plenty of money. Go down there if he's want to get Big Arthur said up and went, Gaffer, I stay close to Falkirk. Do you mind if I go out for a couple of pints in Falkirk?
Strachan loved him though, didn't he?
Strachan liked him,
aye. To be fair, do you know what I liked about Arthur? Remember we got taken on the Christmas day, was it whole world? And he paid for everyone.
Paid for everything, aye. And then we went to America, me and Gowser sharing in a room and Strachan, in America you can't go if you're under 21.
Yeah.
Strachan's like, everybody out, Caddy, Gowser, he's kind of good. He's a, was you there, no?
No, I didn't think so.
Man, you're at maybe Swindon or something or something like that. Caddy, Gowser, he's kind of good, he's on the lid. And to be fair, Arthur's like, listen, I'll take them out. And if they get knocked back, I'll come back. Gaffer's like, there's fucking one guy that's not taking A to it, and it's you.
But you know what, Big Jarosik once as well?
Oh, Big Yeary in the fucking casino. I was just, 18, 19. I was in the casino, just me and my mate. One night, playing fucking £2 and £3. I'm playing like just through, and I met Big Ian, he's come up, started talking away, and hey, Gary, you have this. And it was like a gold bar, mate. It was about £5,000. He's what he gave me it just to play with.
Wow.
I'm thinking, fucking hell, I'm for the scheme, I'll put that in my back pocket and nailed. But obviously I didn't take it, but just the guys on a different level.
Gaz Caldwell was always good for looking after you on a night out as well. He'd pay for everything.
I used to go, I went 3-4 Christmas nights out there with him and never paid a penny. Never. Big Ian was good enough.
Big Ian, sorry. Big Ian. He was a top man, Big Ian as well.
Big Ian, fucking big cunt. No, I remember going back to the Barcelona game, I wanted Ronaldinho's top. I was just about to get it, and Big Ian like, no, you'll play against these players all the time. Did I fuck me? I'll play against them soon.
There's no doubt, is he?
I'll get Decos.
Oh, did you get Decos,
didn't you? I got Decos,
you still got it?
I've still got it.
Brilliant. Like, see, you've seen Bruni this serious now, it's when you remember.
See, that's the thing, right? Bruni's, see off the pitch, people don't see it. Bruni's, he's the best guy ever.
Mm.
So calm, always up for a laugh. See, you see him in that tunnel, he's just the most stone-faced guy ever.
He gets in the zone, doesn't he?
Aye, he's fucking, he's the polar opposite off the pitch. People don't realise that he's, I think it's getting well documented now, the things he does off the pitch for different people and that, but he's fucking, he's a top man. Like.
Right, Tony Mowbray comes in. Did you feel you were getting fair opportunities under him?
See, when he first came in, I thought to myself, he's
my type of manager.
My type, he's a gung-ho kind of manager, like I remember.
Watch his fullbacks, the bomb on.
So, under Tony Mowbray, we used to play two centre-halves, and then we had Landry and Gwenwell and Scott Brown.
Mate, how good was it? Sorry to interrupt. How good was Gwenwell when he first came?
Very good, mate. Remember Danny, remember how many Gowser
him, him and Gowser were racing
Gowser each other? Racing each other, mate. It was fucking unbelievable. He was the fittest man I liked. He was good, wasn't he?
Uh-huh.
He was good. So he used to just have like a box. So they two would, Landry and Bruni would sit. And then you'd have Mick and Gaz or whatever sitting. And then fullbacks had to start at the halfway line. Wingers come and sit. It was just gung-ho.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, this is going to be good. And I played most of my games under him. I played quite a lot under him.
And did he, would Mowbray be the type that would pull you in and tell you that he liked you?
Not particularly. He was such a nice man. Mm. Tony Mowbray was the nicest man ever. Still is, obviously, I was at Blackburn with him. But Vino was more the one that was, Vino was close.
Remember, like, Vino would pull me in, wouldn't he?
He'd test us, wouldn't he? Remember the...
Cardiff?
In Australia, in Cardiff. Uh-huh. In Australia, but like... When they signed him.
Mowbray just bought 3.5 million for somebody. Jenk, he's good. When they signed him.
We were like, no, he's all right.
I used to have my boys. No wonder I got released.
No, Vino was fucking some guy. Tony Mowbray would say something, then Vino would get involved, then Granty would say something. It was like the three of them were just desperate to get their messages in.
Three big personalities.
Good guys.
The best thing about Tony Mowbray was he upgraded us to first class.
Oh, amazing that, wasn't it? Never been a first class in my life, though.
Oh, that was amazing.
It's amazing. You see the food we're going to hear? Grazing, as you called it, didn't you? Grazing.
Two of the pads.
Aye.
Brilliant. Robbie Keane arrived that season. How good was he, kids?
Oh, fuck. Do you know what? Listen, I can't speak for anybody else, but I thought Robbie Keane was too good for Celtic.
At that time, that made sense.
He was making... You wouldn't realise until you'd watch highlights of games. He's making runs that nobody could provide. Do you know what I mean? He was fucking ridiculous. Great guy, by the way.
Would he get frustrated at it?
No, he never would. No,
quite chilled.
No, he's a good guy. He was sound, chilled, tried to help everybody. But I just thought that he was too good for the league. And
would he have been the best you played at in the first team at Celtic?
No, I've always said I loved Sean Maloney, loved playing Sean.
But you said Maloney was horrible to play against in training.
Never know if he was going left, never know if he was going right. Strong, powerful, quick, but it takes a lot to beat Naka, I think. Naka was a joke.
What was he like? You said that you played behind him. What was it like to play behind him? Tough because he wouldn't...
Tough, aye, but when you were on an ascendancy and you were going forward, then you just had to game it.
Uh-huh.
Just game the ball. I remember going back to Strachan, actually. It was heavy snow one day and we were out training, if you were training this day. And Naka was that good, like, he was unbelievable. He never took a bad touch, never gave a bad pass, he was a joke. And he's went to take a touch and he's took a bad touch and it was heavy snowing and Stratton's blew the whistle and went, right, everybody in. If he can't control it, none of yous can.
I remember that.
Remember, he set his on after about 20 minutes. But I've always said he was the best.
Right, back on Mowbray, mate. Why do you think I never worked for him? Just that the relationship between Vino and Granty?
Possibly aye, but I think with Tony Mowbray at times we're in the Europa League, so we're maybe going away on a Thursday and then coming back and travelling away to Inverness on a Sunday, and it's almost as if Tony Mowbray just expected, oh, we're away to Inverness, we'll turn up and thing. But you need to remember, when everybody else is playing against Celtic, it's their biggest game.
Mm.
Everybody lifts their thing, and it was, I think he just found it hard to think, no, we should be beating him, but shouldn't he be? Because you've got to turn up and do everything right. And I don't know, it was difficult. There was obviously a lot of players come in, and it just didn't work for him, unfortunately.
When was the time that you thought I need to get away from Celtic?
Probably when Lenny was reserve manager, right? And I played a lot of games under Lenny was reserve manager, and he kept pulling me saying you should be playing with the first team and all the rest of it. And Lenny ended up getting the job for the last 9 games. I'm still with Leader. So at the end of that season, we went to, was it America with Lenny? Me and you, weren't
we? We went to
America with Lenny, and
oh, that was that night I lost my head,
Oh, fuck, aye. You threw the fucking dowser, wasn't it? The guy from me. Who were you throwing at him?
Pizza.
Pizza. One pizza, the guy for night. I just remember coming back in there, and to be fair, I got offered a new deal when I was under Lenny.
Right.
Lenny pulled me in and said, I can't promise you'll play, but day's your day and you'll get a chance. And I think it was quite brave for me to say, no, I want to go and play. And I went to Swindon for less money and not a big...
Was that less money?
Aye, I went to Swindon, aye, for a lot less. When I got a new deal under Strachan, I think it was my first like proper deal, and
yeah.
Strachan looked after me. It was then amazing, but I went to Swindon for less money, and I was a bit of a gamble, but I just got to the age where I thought, because I've seen a lot of boys at 23, 24 still hardly play the game itself, and I thought, no, do you know what, I want to go and be a player, I want to get a career. So I decided to leave at 21, I think I left with 2 years, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? I think I took a lot for you the year before. You went and played and fucking flying, didn't you? Yeah. Swindon, you got to play a final, and was it semi-final? Final for Millwall, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, fuck it, just go and try and make a career for yourself.
You get looking back, do you wish you'd stayed?
Nah.
Yeah?
Nah. Nah, I'd never look back, regret. Nah, I left. If I stayed there another year, I might have not got that chance to leave, and then I'm looking at 22, 23, I've only played 15 games in my career, and nah, because maybe after the first year I left, aye, because we got relegated, didn't we?
I was talking up to you and never got relegated.
We're flying, mate, we'll do this, we'll do that, we've got an unbelievable team, fucking relegated. I think we'll done by March, we know.
I think so.
Three different managers, I know.
It was carnage at Swindon, wasn't it? Especially that, see, Paul Hart came in the moment. Remember when we got relegated to Sheffield Wednesday, he stood naked for
naked,
an hour?
And absolutely cane Scotty Cuthbert, remember? Bollock naked, cock hanging out the side of his pants. Big Scotty, if you don't head the ball and you fucking break your nose, be heading the back of his centre.
So he did.
Naked.
Aye. I pranked him at night as well.
Paul Hart, did you?
Steaming. Hope he's not watching us because he won't batter his man. And then, mate, do you remember the day you heard that the madman was coming to Swindon? DiCario?
Aye. He phoned me.
He phoned you?
He phoned me.
Did he?
I don't remember.
I never got a phone call.
He phoned me when I come. I was in Cyprus with Haley, my mate, and his missus, and he phoned me and left a message. I was like, what the fuck's this? So I ended up phoning back. He's like, Paul, we start training. This was like Friday. We start training Monday. We started like 20th of June or something, remember?
So early,
I'm thinking myself, my flight's on Tuesday. I was like,
oh, that was how you missed it.
No, I didn't miss it. I had to come back.
Oh, did you?
I had to book a flight the Sunday night. Come back the Sunday night and went to training.
So
the
he
Monday
wouldn't
morning.
Even let you come back to
no,
the
I didn't fuck. No, I want to see you Monday. I'm like, all right, right, that's fine. But you know what, I was buzzing though, because obviously I was a Celtic fan. I loved him. I thought he was a genius. Uh-huh. Loved him. And the thing I was worried about was that the club would go for somebody in League Two that would want to just go hoofball, and it wouldn't suit like me. They'd want big players, but like physical players. And then they brought him in. I thought, he's going to want to try and play here, and this would be perfect.
What was it? When was the first time you thought he is mental?
Probably the first day, he just did this thing about him, didn't he?
He was scary, mate.
Oh, he was mad. He was mad. No scary on Strachan for me, I don't know. Strachan was just different, but no, he was mental, but probably because he was never on me.
He loved you, didn't he?
He was never on me, aye. He wasn't, to be fair. He was brilliant. Tactically, he knew the game inside out, didn't he? Uh-huh. Every position. But the thing, just didn't trust anybody, didn't he? No,
he was a partner.
We used to have the day. So defenders would go and do shape with him, and then everybody else would do a continuous warm-up with Claudio, didn't they?
The midfielders
and then the midfielders would come out, And then we'd go back and do another warm up. He just didn't. He slap Fabio and everything, didn't he?
He's assistant manager. How did you take to, obviously, your diet wasn't great? How did you take to any butter, any ice? Madness, wasn't it?
Oh, it was madness, aye. But no, but my diet was all right when I was a fitter. They didn't eat chicken fried rice curry and prawn crackers there. So, I remember there were long days, I know. So it was hard, just dry chicken, dry pasta. We used to all have to sit at the table. Remember, he brought that in, we used to all sit at the table. Uh-huh. And we weren't allowed to eat until the captain made sure everybody was there, right, we can go and eat and stuff like that. And I remember with Tommy Muller's fucking 34 with three wains and a wife, and one I was sharing with Tommy in Italy, and one morning he's went to put coffee and he's thinking, Canio's come over, and the Canio's come over. I went, oh, no milk. Tommy's laughing, me and Tommy are pissing ourselves laughing. And he just looks at me and he's like, no milk. Uh-huh. Tommy's like, what do you mean? He's like, you have cake, you don't need milk. Tommy's like, I can have a pot of cake, but I can't have my coffee. He's a maniac, absolute maniac.
He made you captain, didn't he?
It was initially Reeser, wasn't it? Ollie Reeser. What a weirdo, man. What a weird cat.
Victory.
Oh, that's the first thing I said to him when he made me captain. He pulled me in and said, would you like to be captain? Ollie Reeser got injured. And would you like to be captain? I said, aye. But I said, Gaffer, I'll be honest, I'm not doing a victory in the dressing room. And he's like, but why? I was like, it's not me. It just doesn't identify. I'm one of these guys that, like, see if I could skip a warm-up. I'd skip a warm-up. I'd just go out and play. I don't like, in the dressing room, doing all that shouting and that. I'm like, it's not me. I'm not standing. I've never done it. I don't remember. I've never ever done it. Ooh, victory. He made talking all the research, get us on a circle, didn't he? And we all put hands on each other. And he'd go, ooh, and we'd go, victory. The canny was proper fucking into it in that window. I was like, I'm not doing that. So he made me captain. It was...
Would he talk to you about Celtic or it?
Nah, never.
Yeah.
No, he never really.
Did you?
Tommy signed him or not, didn't he?
Tommy Burns signed him.
Tommy signed him, he never really say much, no.
But he liked you more than he liked you the most of everyone, didn't he?
Aye, but I never really had a relationship with him. It was never one of the guys that you'd go in and you'd sit with one-to-one with him, wouldn't you know?
No.
You'd never really pull anybody around like that. And, oh, the old time, he would pull me if he was... He'd only ever pull me if he was wanting to moan about something.
Yeah.
So... Me. No, he fucking loved you.
No, he did. Aye, he loved you.
He used to pull me in and say, we'd play on a Saturday. Pull me in the Monday and go, I was a captain. Paul, you are the captain here. I need you to spread the message. Alan McCormack, Saturday night, Chinese with his wife, come on. I'm looking at him thinking, we've not got a game here the following Saturday. We can't do this, come on. I'm
he like, knew everything, didn't he?
Everything. I think he paid people in Swindon, didn't he? He must have, he knew everything. He used to say, we play at McDonald's, he used to call it MK Don's, McDonald's. McDonald's. Saturday we play McDonald's. Isaac McLeod, for instance. Isaac McLeod, he no train Monday, he no train Tuesday, he no train Wednesday. He do fitness tests Thursday, he train Friday. How the fuck do you know that? It turned out to be true, he just knew everything. Scary, he knew the game inside out, I know.
What was the one, was it Christmas Day? Was this when you were bombed? Is this when you remember?
No, I wasn't bombed, no, I was alright, but then this was his first season, remember? Right. The boys had been, so he picked a squad, obviously, Christmas Day, I think we played away to, I can't remember, played away to Exeter or something, and so we had to be in Christmas Day travelling. But the boys that won the plane, had to come in and do a gym session. And at that time, the boys were like, anybody will come in. But nobody will ever know if we just stay at home. I remember, like, Carl Kennedy and stuff like that. They're like, nah, we'll no bother coming in. So a couple of them sacked it off. The Canio was found out, Boxing Day. And the boys were like, how the fuck does he know? The Canio sneaked in during the night and put a camera in the gym and zoomed it in so he could see everybody coming into the gym.
Yeah.
He was fucking mental. Yeah. Do you remember when he left?
My memory's terrible.
Remember when he left? He tried to break in, didn't he? No break in, but...
Oh, so he did to the ground,
to the ground, the guy was...
Did he take TVs or not?
To be fair, he probably bought them all. He spent a fortune at that club. He used to buy all the tellies, remember?
He used to bash them off the wall. Remember the time we played Torquay, and I think it was around about Christmas time, and we were getting beat 2-0 at half-time, and he came in at half-time, and he went, if you get in the final third, just kick it out for a goal kick. Just give them a goal kick.
Oh,
Simon, if you get the ball, just kick
just
it out for a
goal kick. Aye. He used to go mad at half time times, didn't he? Oh. Remember Barton away?
Barton.
Barton. He used to flip the thing in the big hamper, smash the door in that and got fucking had to pay a fortune fine. Some guy, man.
Leon Clark was the best going tell us.
Leon Clark, so played South.
He was on a fortune at us, wasn't he?
Well, because we found out afterwards in the dressing room. So as soon as the full time whistles went, Claudio's come straight on the pitch, straight on it, and straight up to Leon Clark. Tomorrow we do some fitness runs. You're not fit enough. Clark is like, leave me, just let me get in the dressing room.
Leave me, bruv.
Leave me, bro. Leave me, leave me. So the canners try to like grab him as he got to the tunnel. Clark is like, leave me. And seeing him get down the tunnel, mate, I was like, fucking something out of Green Street, man.
Punching his cunt, isn't
it? Oh, he was chasing me. The canner tried to throw a cone at him. And it's just, there's like a thing at the top of the one. It's just hit the wall. Clarkie's kept his run out, and see, obviously you know, but down the Swindon Tunnel, if you keep running, you go through a fire exit right into the away fans. The canner's chased him through the Southampton fans. Clarkie's run out, so we went out. 5 minutes later, they are cooled down, and Clarkie's sitting in the far stand himself with his cat on.
Shitting
himself. But we're in the dressing room after that, and the canner was like, shot ripped open, bare chest out, flipped the tees, gone metal. £300,000 we pay for him per year, and on £6,000 a week, not the rest.
I remember he was pal with Etienne or something. He went, Etienne, you tell your pal if I see him, I slit his throat.
By the way, I don't know if you remember, never seen Etienne for that day. He was finished,
I just bought because he's mate.
Yeah, of course he was mate. He was finished, and all.
What, remember we got caught going out at Aldershot before we won the league?
Made just an apology, didn't he?
In the paper.
Made just write an apology.
Did you remember him in the dressing room after that game?
Gone mad, wouldn't he?
Oh my god.
Do you know what though? If we won, we'd get promoted, wouldn't we? We'd get promoted and you're all out, and runs and that. Did something happen that night, or not?
We're fighting or something. You had a newborn under the canal. What was his words of advice to you?
This was the beginning of the end with me with the canal. So Summer was born the 17th of June, and I think we're back pre season the 18th or something, literally the next day. So I was up here in Scotland, had the wane, came down, tried to help Hayley as much as possible could in the first wane, and hadn't done much running, and so first couple of days I wasn't as fit as I should have been. But I knew under him, you only needed 2 weeks under him, and fit as fuck. So I remember him saying to me, Paul, why you not stand with your baby and do squats against the wall, keep your legs strong? I'm thinking, you fucking taking the piss, mate. You're mental. So I was like, nah, I'm not going to lie. I didn't think of that, no. So I came down to Swindon. Hayley was down there herself. It was our first weigh-in. I was trying to... He'd done it with Paul Benson, no? He'd done it with Paul Benson. Benno had a weigh-in maybe around about February or something. And he said, to Benno...
You've been shit since your baby, didn't
he? Aye, but then he said to Benno, I don't want to get involved in your private life. But then 2 seconds later, I said, maybe you shouldn't sleep with your wife, you shouldn't sleep with your baby, you stay in a separate room for 4 months. And Ben was like, I can't do that, it's my fucking wane.
What was the beginning of the interview in the canal? I can't remember.
Played Crystal Palace, remember? Were you there?
Was it Zaha?
Aye, Zaha torn me to shreds, remember?
Yeah, Zaha was ridiculous.
Ridiculous, torn me to shreds, scored.
It was a pre-season friendly, right?
Pre-season friendly, scored. Went into the...
Their meetings were unreal, weren't they?
Into a meeting. And do you remember you're at the meeting and fairy and he'd click it, you'd think, oh fuck, I mean, the clips will go, you'd clip in, you'd maybe only have one. So he'd pick out every single mistake. But he clicked into me this day and I remember there was loads. And I got on really, well and I never really had many. And he just started hammering me. And he was like, battle of telly, this is your leader, follow the leader, this is your leader, Cadiz.
Follow the leader.
And then he just started saying to me, you have until Thursday if you want to be at this club. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Never once said I wanted to leave. And then it got that bad and then that I said, listen, I don't need till Thursday. If you don't want me here, then that's fine. So I went out and trained straight after it. And Claudio, the fitness coach, shouted me and Benno. Benno was the same. For some reason, Benno got hammered. Shouted me and Benno, today you know do a cool down, you do run. So we done like 500, 800 metre runs or something.
The day after the game?
The day after the game, I'm like, why are we doing this? You need to get fitter. I went, it's nothing to do with that. It's because the canals want us to fucking bomb us, basically. And that was just the beginning of the end. And then I remember driving back. Do you know what, actually? Remember the groundsman? What was his name?
Matty Vernon?
No.
Oh, no, wee Marcus?
No, the one that burnt.
The screwball, Jimmy.
He ended up putting it, I don't know, on Twitter or a forum or something. And people clicked on like that. So see by the time I got from where we used to train back to the county ground, Jeremy was there, the chairman. What happened? I was like, how do you know? It's like, one of the staff just told me. I was like, how's it go? Escalated that quick. He used to tell everybody everything, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, I think I'm finished. Like, he doesn't want me. He was like, no, let's sort it. And I had a great relationship with Jeremy. He was sound.
Yeah.
Let's sort it. But that was it. I never...
But it was, I remember your, remember when pre-season that summer, and he gave a big speech, remember? And he asked you to speak.
He gave a big speech and...
It's going
to
listen,
we like to laugh. Uh-huh. That's just how we're brought up. We like to laugh, and it was the hardest 2 weeks of life. Remember, in the middle of nowhere, so hard, depressing, running every day, no sweeties. So it was hard, and you could just tell everybody was doing and desperate for him. He's like, Paul, you got anything to say? I went, phew. I wasn't meaning it cheeky. I was meaning, like, I've just had a newborn baby. I'm can't wait to get him. I went, I'll be honest, I can't wait to get him.
Oh, he's
doing mate. Like a shit supper, man. He was raging, wasn't he?
Did you not find the bush that pre-season as well?
I just tried to pick the place up a bit. We were just running all the time. We'd done shape in the afternoon, but shape with him wasn't it normal. It was a 2 or 11 v 11, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The balls went out of play and it's went high, and I've seen this bush and I'm thinking, fuck it, I'm going to run and dive into this bush. And I went to catch the ball and dived into this bush. Everybody's pissing himself and he's shouting, oh! Gone mad. I'm like, fucking hell, relax.
Yeah.
And I remember not long after that, I was just trying to be chirpy and try to get boys laughing and that. It was always a bit doing with him at times. And we used to do this thing where Claudio would make you, as soon as you felt as if you were going to go forward, sprint.
Sprint at her.
And one day I just kept going, and my face right into the ground, and everybody was laughing and that. And that didn't get done well at all. But ended up training separately and stuff like that.
Remember got a night out in Italy, didn't we? Remember he turned up at the nightclub?
No, I remember the. Aye, but remember the dodgy cunts were trying to get us to go? Me, you and a couple of others. So, like, come with me, no tell Paolo. Big Verona tattoos on the top of their head. Come with me. Paolo don't need to know that. Just piss me. I turned up there. He was like a hero though when we got there. He used to shake everybody's hand. The fascist went. He was fucking mental, mate. He was mental.
Oh, brilliant. So do you remember leaving Swindon? Was there a last conversation between you and him, or was it just away?
No, do you know what? I never thought I was leaving. I got to... run about 30th of August and I still had nothing. I was thinking, I'm gonna have to sit here for until January and try and get out then. And then Carol Robinson was mates with Neil Lennon, and I remember Carol Robinson phoning somebody and saying, so I was kind of going.
Has been a player in K Dons and you were gonna stand and he pulled you, remember?
Aye, and he pulled me. That's what it was. And in the tunnel,
yeah.
Before the game, he said, listen, give me your number, I'll phone you. And I thought, right, I'll probably end up going there. And then, just at the last minute, and the last day, the window, Lee Clark phoned. I'm thinking, fuck off, I'm going for League 2 to Championship here. And you still, no doubt yourself, but you think, that's one of the ones that when you look at the thing and you go, how the fuck's he nicked that? You look at Sky and I remember thinking, fucking hell, this will be unbelievable, going to a club like Birmingham.
Was it a massive club, Birmingham?
Oh, huge. Huge club. At that time, there was a lot of problems with the owner and stuff like that, and there was right through the full time I was there. And I remember thinking, what an opportunity this is. So I ended up going there.
What was Lee Clark like? Good guy?
Brilliant. Very good with me. Very good. I remember, so that was a Friday. I turned up the Friday for insurance reasons. I couldn't train. I had to wait till all that. So I didn't end up signing to the Friday afternoon. And then... So I was there at the training on all Friday, hadn't met anybody, just Lee Clark. Didn't get to training until about 4 o'clock, just met Lee Clark. Turned up the next day. I had been bombed for the carnival, so I hadn't really trained much for about 3 weeks. Flipped the team in and I'm starting right back. I'm thinking, fuck.
And starting right back in the championship. Who was that against?
Peterborough, the debut.
Right.
And I done well, I got man of the match and stuff like that. But the thing about that was I walked into that dressing room and almost as if it was back to when I was a young boy at Celtic, and big personalities in that dressing room. There's big players like Curtis Davis, fucking Marlon King's a big personality.
Wow, you're scary, Marlon King.
Big Ziggy.
Oh, how much was Ziggy on? 70 a week, you
65
told?
A week. He was on 65 a week, and that year if we get relegated, he was getting more a wage increase of $70,000 a week in League One. Then it was like Chris, but every dressing room we get into, you normally know somebody. So when I went to Swindon, it was you, big Scotty, all the rest of it. I didn't know a single person there. And I thought, oh, fuck. But I done well and that helped, to be fair.
Also, you talked about the dressing room there. Rava Morrison was on loan. I remember you telling me how good he was.
Absolute genius, man.
Was he?
Aye. unbelievable.
At what, like, just like dribbling with the ball?
Dribbling with the ball, fucking brave, take it anywhere, could do things with the ball that you didn't think was possible. Just an all-round
top player.
He could play sit in midfield, make things happen. He could play in the hole, he could play up front, he could play in the right, he could play in the left, he could play anywhere. He was a genius, but
he was a screwball, wasn't he?
Screwball, mate. Screwball. We done we done shape on the Friday one day. Rav was playing centre mid in the hole or something. So we've all come in, got changed, went home. And Derek Fazakerly was the assistant manager at the time. And the old staff, like staff hang about to 4 or 5 o'clock. And Faz is just a bit in his motor, and just where the car park is, there's a big indoor pitch. Here's a lot of fucking shouting and screaming and that. So he's walked into the indoor pitch. This is a Friday before the game. Rav and a bit, honestly, he used to come with this entourage, Rav. He used to come, no joke, with about 15 people. Honestly, right? So he's getting in, and we're playing fucking 8v8 in the indoor pitch.
On a Friday afternoon.
With all the boys' boots on. His full squad on a Friday afternoon. And Faz is shouting, Rav, you're fucking playing tomorrow. Get fucking in there.
With Lee, what was Lee Clark like? With,
loved him.
Did he?
I loved him, Lee Clark. Just, he loved that kind of off-the-cuff personality. But
he's a good guy, Morrison?
A great guy. I seen he's pleasant, nice guy, chatty. You wouldn't think in there, but then he'd take his tap off and he'd stub life across his stomach.
Oh, I love that, man. What a boy. Oh, you think he'll do well with Sheffield United this year?
I hope so, I hope so. But it's difficult for him. He's been start-stop a lot, isn't he?
Could Lee Clark crack?
Aye. Lee Clark go mad, aye.
You ever get it?
Aye, I got it once. We worked on this free kick, right? For the halfway line. Boys would start at either side of the box, run and put it in, or the rest of it. And I played, and I got it done and played quick. And he went fucking mental. And just one of the things, I was like, aye. But I think he thought I went, oh, relax. And I was like, aye, aye. And he went fucking mental at half time. Don't fucking wave your arms at me and all the rest of it.
Could he go?
He could go, aye, but he was good.
You went back to Swindon, because he was on the loan at Birmingham, ended up staying in a caravan.
Went back to Swindon thinking that, so Lee Clark says to me, well, try our nuts off, we're going to try and sign you, we want to sign you. But there was cash flow issues, no money, all the rest of it. So I thought, what's the point in going back and renting a house? Staying in a hotel, I hate staying in hotels for cons, and I liked mind space, like to cook food and stuff like that. And
Not a lot of Chinese
deliver to hotels. I thought they'd deliver to the caravan park, that'd be better. So I ended up staying at a caravan park for fucking, which I thought was only going to be a week, because Lee Clark kept saying, lift, we're getting closer. It's about 6 weeks I stayed in this caravan park with fucking families and all the rest of it. I stayed there for 6 weeks, and I went back, and Kevin McDonald was manager.
How funny was he, mate?
Kevin McDonald was brilliant. I liked him as well.
Yeah, he was good. He'd just been done with Billy, but I've never seen any of that.
Nah.
He was too soft.
I loved him. Him and
we all know you're good footballers. It's about proving you're good footballers. Every team taught without fail.
Oh, he was brilliant. Really liked him. He was here at the end of that season, wasn't he? And then so, when I went back in, he was like, listen, I want you to play centre mid. I'm going to make you captain. But it was Lee Powell and Jerry McCrory, and they two hated each other.
Did they?
Aye, they fell out, didn't they? They didn't like each other. So Lee Power was sound, but he was the main man. And Jed McCrory's put it out in the press, actually, just before, at the end of the season, when I was at Birmingham, saying I refused to play in the playoffs with Swindon, which was pure bullshit. I never ever once asked if I wanted to. See if you asked me to play in the playoffs, and I knew Birmingham would let me. Obviously, they're playing the playoffs, an unbelievable game. So he started talking a load of shite, and then I went back, and Lee Power was like, listen, for financial reasons, we can't keep you in this league, basically, for wages and stuff. I was like, fine. And started training on my own and all the rest of it, and it just became difficult.
Was it always going to be Birmingham that you were going to go to?
No, I was, remember training one day, and Lee Power never came to training, but came down halfway through training. In fact, I got back in, actually, that was it. I got back in training with Kevin McDonald. Just like, listen, if he's going to be here, and we're still going to pay him.
We'll use him.
We need to use him. Yeah. So I was back in training, and then he come down through the bushes at where we used to train at, well, it was at Lidington or whatever, and shouted me. And I came in, I was like, listen, we've just agreed a fee with Blackpool. And I was like, right, okay. Blackpool won the championship at the time. I thought, right, championship, let's just go in. And I remember my agent, Mark, speaking to to Lee Clark, and Lee Clark saying, just, we're trying, but I'm not really alive, we're struggling, kind of didn't about it. So I was just about to, well, I was on my way to Blackpool, and I remember speaking to Alex Ray. He was assistant, I think Paul Ince was manager, and I don't know what it was, but someone just put me off going there, and I phoned Matt, and I was like, this was the last day of the transfer window, so this was do or die. It was either go there or stay at Swindon. And I said to him, I was like, I don't know what it is, but I just don't know what you're feeling about it. I think it was, to be honest, I think Alex Ray helped. he phoned and he was like, wee man, pitches under the best facilities on the game. Like, fucking hell, do you want me to come here? But we've got a lot of Scottish boys, Fergie's here, and Stephen Craney, and that was there. I was thinking, right. I never seen him, like, I thought, Matt, I just don't have a good feeling. And that was it. And then within a couple of hours, Birmingham agreed a fee with Swindon.
And you were absolutely loaded. That following season, another player came, Jesse Lingard.
Jesse came, and...
How was he? Annoying.
Scored four in his debut.
Was he annoying then? Did he score four?
Aye, he scored four against Sheffield. No, he was quiet. Jesse was quite quiet, but I'll be honest, I never ever thought he'd going to do what he's done.
Nah,
never. He then went to Derby after us and done all right there, but to go to Man United and then, what was he getting, 100 grand a week or something, 2 or 3 years after playing with Birmingham, I thought...
So would he not have stood out of that at Birmingham now?
He was young. It was probably his first time to probably play first team like football, but I think Louis van Gaal looked after him, didn't he? Gave him his games and stuff like that. But he was good, but I never thought he would get to that stage.
Right, mate, you wrote yourself at the club folklore, the final day. I think we just finished and we were watching the scores in the dressing room, it came up.
What a game.
Was it Chris Kamara that was dinging on it?
Alan McInally,
so
Alan McInally.
Right, Bob, what is it, the boss coming in the air?
So...
How did you end up in the box? You played centre-half?
I played number 10, that. See, under Lee Clark, I played everywhere except for goalkeeper.
Really, right?
Played in the right or back three, I played right, left, mid, centre-mid, number 10. Played number 10 that day. Done all right. You know what, we were really good that day. We battered him, but we were 2-0 down and 12 minutes to go. And
did you think we were relegated?
That was it, aye. As soon as that second one, and Big Daz Randolph went in. And get done at his front post, and you can see everybody's just like that, and you think that's it. And see, to be fair, see, as soon as the second goal went in, we had an unbelievable support, and they started singing, and you think, it's 12 minutes to go here, and then we heard word that Leicester had just scored against Donny, so they went 1-0 up, and Donny only needed to draw, because we were in the relegation zone.
Right.
So if they get beat and we drew, we'd have went above them. So Big Ziggy scored 78 minutes or something, 12 minutes to go. We just thought, fuck, we've got a chance here. And then Marco probably shouldn't have stood because the ball got cleared and Big Spectres fucking took the ball out the edge of the box and the ref played on his diag that Jordan Ives went past somebody.
Jordan Ives there as well?
Jordan Ives was there, went past somebody, hit a shot. What a rocket he was in up, he was. Just fucking one of the boys that was never on time. Never. He's had a shot. Big Zig, it's deflected up near. Ziggy's heated it. Tim Reams cleared it off the line and it's just, I couldn't really miss, to be honest, but it was fucking...
Was there any flutters before you put it in?
No, not really, no, because...
It happened so quick.
It happened that quick, but I can still hear the... Once I score, I can still hear it. I can still relive it. I can hear, like, the fans and stuff. That was unbelievable. And I ran away for the fans. I ran away up to Daz, because see when the second goal went in, Daz Randolph was, like, physically greeting, gutted. So I ran straight to him.
Was he greeting, was he?
Daz was probably our best player the full season and then...
Good goal, yeah.
Brilliant. And he just thought, fuck off. Because they get done at his front post and arrested it and I just ran straight to him and then that was like the 93rd minute and I remember thinking to myself, get his... Because I knew I was going to get booked to take my tap off, showed my six pack and that. Run right up to the far right-hand corner and stood up there and I thought, I need to waste as much time as I can and made the wreck all the way up to book me.
And then just walked back. Was that noise and that feeling up there when Celtic scored against Barcelona?
It's probably better.
Was it?
I'm not going to lie, it's probably...
Just because you've done it?
Just because it was me personally in that moment, and I loved it at that club. It was the best time of my career. Birmingham's it's a working man's club. See, if you run about at Birmingham and try your hardest, they'll take to you. And I just think that... I always remember, it might have been you to say that, but I always remember Danny Wilson commenting on Scottish players will always work their nuts off for you. They'll always run about. Mm. And always, some of them have always took me when we were Strachan and Oz. Strachan used to always say in the dressing room, be a good teammate. just run a bit. If you're not in a good game, just run a bit. So I was just, with Birmingham, you see, we just worked hard.
Yeah, like you.
They take to you, and I had a great relationship with the fans and stuff like that.
If that's the case, they must have fucking hated Big Ziggich.
Big Ziggy, fucking. Big Ziggy couldn't do Saturday, Tuesday. Oh my god, see if he.
Why not?
Oh, fucking hell, mate. He's a bag of shit on the Tuesday, man. Oh, fucking hell. What a player. Ziggy was better with his feet in there. Nobody realised it. Do you know what else people forget? Ziggy played up front with David Veer, Valencia.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. The two of them played, and Alex McLeish got the job at Birmingham, and the owner, Carson Young, at the time says, Alex, I have a present for you. I just bought Nicola Ziggich, but fucking gave him 65, 70 grand a week.
Wow. Was he bothered?
Oh, great guy, mate.
No,
not really. I didn't get after a great start with him. I remember when I first came, he went to hit a shot, and I blocked it, and he kicked the bottom of my foot. His fault. I blocked the shot. Next time you get it, I fucking break your leg. I'm like,
no way.
He's a big man. Aye, many that, but I was fucking tight with him, I was really close with him. Aye, he was brilliant. He used to come in every morning and like some shit would happen, chain would be shit or something. Like, hey, no problem, big man, easy money, easy money. Easy money, mate, you're on 65 grand a week, that's why.
I love guys like that, man. Talk us through the dressing room after that game, when you keep them up.
Surreal, mate. It's, I remember sitting there and it was pure silence. You'd never believe it. It was silent for about a minute. Do you know what it was? It was just the
relief.
Aye, it was just
because the clubs probably could have went under if he's got relegated. Eh?
Possibly, aye. Could have ended up doing like the likes of Portsmouth and stuff like that, done and just sunk through the leagues. No, it was quiet, very quiet. And then we'd play the Year Awards the next night, but it was only going ahead if we stayed up, mm-hmm. obviously. And Birmingham's full of fucking like the fans. Obviously, they're known for. Been nutters, like the Zulus and all the rest of it, and they're still like, they all still come to the games. They don't do it the day, but they all still come to the games. And I remember before that game and all the build up to that game, we were getting told as players, which I don't know if we should have. It wasn't really clear, it was coming for somebody else, coming for the board or something. Listen, if you don't stay up here, every day at this club's going, 70% of this club's going to lose their jobs.
That's
added pressure because these are people, players can go from fucking club to club. These are people that are working in the office that have got kids and stuff like that and mortgages and all the rest of it. And you think, but the dressing room was quiet for a bit and then obviously it erupted. It was unbelievable.
What was it Lee Clark done the game before that to kind of?
The night, no, it was the night
before the game.
So we played the Sunday, so the Saturday night, which we didn't know. He contacted, he got his PA to contact all the players' partners. Families, mums, dads, brothers, sons, daughters, all the rest of it, the week before. And only 8 replied. And it was, so we had a meeting the night before with the tactics meeting, all the rest of it. And then he flipped tapped the next slide. And it was like 8, 9 names. And I was one of them on it. Users that are on that slide stay here. Going on here, it's not as if it's a starting 11, he didn't name the team. Uh-huh. There's only 8, 9 players in it. What's going on here? So they've all left, and he didn't say anything, and he just pressed play. It was fucking emotional, mate. It was hard. It was nice, so it was like Jonathan Spector, his family from America and stuff like that, they would send videos in, and just seeing your kids and that, and everybody just saying, like, oh, we're proud of you, no matter what happens, and the rest. It was a touch of class, like, for him.
Brilliant, eh?
Very good, mate. Very
and that night you stayed up, where did you go?
Just went run about. Some of the boys went out of Birmingham. Some of them went to Solihull. We ended up Solihull for a bit, and obviously I don't drink. So
what a waste, mate! Same Birmingham, we didn't drink. I wish it was me that had done that.
I know. I didn't end up.
What were the fans like? Me thought, are you a hero there.
See for that day, mate. Honestly, Gary Penn, meeting Gary Penn the next day at the awards, he's like, your life's going to change here. And I was thinking, fair enough. But see for that day, mate. It was fucking honestly, it was unbelievable. Couldn't go anywhere. It was literally, it's a massive club, there's fans everywhere. We're going to Astley and Solihull all the time, and go in and have food and people would be up, and I was thinking, this is fucking unbelievable, man. It's brilliant, I loved it. I'm not going to lie, I loved it. It was quality, made you feel good. And that night, we stayed up about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm sleeping, I'm a boring cunt the night out. Like, so I'm in my bed and Haley's nudging me, Paul, there's people outside shouting.
Outside your house?
Outside my house, right? So I stayed at the house and there was a big park across, there was a big grass pitch. And I've opened up the thing and it was Lee Novak, Big Daz, the chef, and about fucking 10 fans all singing my name outside the house at half 3 in the morning. It's quality. I was like, fuck off, I'm trying to get to sleep. It's good though.
Brilliant, mate. During the time you were called up to Scotland to play in Serbia, is that Craig Levein?
No, I was called up at first with Craig Levein. That was a... played Aberdeen, but Kev Kyle was on the bench actually.
Hopeless.
I remember Kev Kyle when the Jeff was addressing him after the game saying, I'm a fuck coming back here. No, he didn't come all the way up to Aberdeen, then he goes, I'm no fucking coming back here. I got called up there but never got on. But the Serbia one was Strachan.
Oh, Strachan, isn't it? Strachan, so, yeah. Did he phone you up or was it through the club?
Strachan phoned me, right? Phoned me, we played Fulham on Saturday, phoned me this Sunday. Caddy, it's the gaffer, Gordon Strachan. How do you fancy coming to Scotland? I was like, Aye, brilliant. Right, okay, Franco phone, you'll get your flight tomorrow. But didn't he tell Birmingham? So I'm on the flight, the Sunday, thinking nothing of it, got there, trained them. Lee Clark, I've got three missed calls with Lee Clark at fucking 12 o'clock in the afternoon on the Monday. Where the fuck are you? I'm going, what's going on here? So I phoned him, like, Gaffer, I'm in Scotland squad. Oh, buzzing, mate, absolutely brilliant. Didn't need to tell you. He's like, no, did the fuck? Fucking, aye, so.
And was starting completely different way when you were back
completely
in
the... different. Completely different. Just
you'd probably end that.
See when I first went there though, he had just got the job maybe a couple of months beforehand. And he was different. He was calm, he was thinking, remember saying to Big Charlie, he's different by the way, he's not the same. And see after that Serbia game they get beat and he said himself, listen, I'm gonna change to the way that I'm gonna stay the way that I am and I'm gonna be hard on you because that's the way I am. I'm not going to be all nice and icy because I think it's difficult as an international manager because you don't get players for a certain amount of times and you start hammering them. You're not like the bigger players and go, oh, fuck you, I'm not going back. So he went back to his normal self.
You enjoy going away, eh? Is it good?
Aye, it was good. Aye, it was good.
Great to have a Scotland cap.
Listen, it's 4 minutes, but it doesn't matter. They're never going to take that away from me. I've got it on my shirt framed and all the rest of it. I'm fucking proud of it. It's the proudest 4 minutes of my life, so if somebody wants to moan at it, then they can feel free to. But
just the other manager, I want to ask you about Zola. How was he?
Zola was too nice. Too nice. Him, Casiraghi.
Wow, that's right.
His assistant manager, right? So they two, unbelievable career. But they've done nothing. They had a guy who's now the manager of Crawley.
What's his name?
Gabby Chioffi or something he's called. Right. The highest he's played was Serie C, so the third level, and he done everything, and Zola and Casiraghi done nothing. I'm thinking, you two taking the piss, man. These two are unbelievable. Too nice, he didn't have a great time. I got on really well, believe it or not. I dislocated my shoulder, so I hadn't, when he first came in, I wasn't fit, and then when I got fit, he pulled me and said, listen, I'll be honest with you, there's new board members that brought in 20 million out of it, and I've been told you must spend the 20 million, so I'm going to have to buy players. He was basically told, we've got this money, we want you to spend it. So he said, it's up to you if you want to go and loan or whatever.
So would you not go mad after a game if you got beaten at it?
Nah, never. What, never.
Just stand?
Nah, just, we had a guy, the boy I'm talking about, Gabby, who would probably do the ranting and raving, but you know what it's like? It's no disrespect towards him, but you think, right, fair enough, you're having a go and we respect you, the coach, but there's two guys here, let them have a go. And you probably got a better reaction for Zola and Casiraghi shouting at you.
Wow.
Mental.
Ended up back with Lee Clark at Bury, loan at Bury. What's happened to Bury now? Absolute shambles.
It's a shame, man. It's a shame. That goes back a long way.
Was it like that when you were in it?
Aye. I was there, what was I there, 3 months or something with Lee Clark. We stayed up eventually, so it was good for me because I just, as I said, I dislocated my shoulder. I hadn't played for 2 months, 3 months. So I just wanted to go and play, get back involved with playing games and stuff like that. But off the pitch was a shambles, mate. Some boys weren't getting pained. It was getting to the Friday and boys were saying, listen, we're not playing if you don't. But see, like that, see as soon as you threaten not to play, the wages are in.
Oh, is that, boys, is that how it works?
Some boys, I don't fucking say this, but some boys were getting paid for fucking hair salons and stuff like that. Dodges, mate, there was something not nice about it. I left, I didn't get any, I was entitled to appearance fees, I didn't get any of them at all.
So you left there being owed money?
Aye, I thought to speak to the PFA, PFA dealt with it. And see, I would blame previous than what's going on right now. I think it's been a build-up.
Bigger
there was boys on it, ridiculous money and all, and you think, we're only getting fucking 1,500 fans. And I'm not, listen, it's probably the best thing in that town. Like Bury, it's probably the football club keeps the town going because it's not great. It's not a great place. Like, but it's what the fans love, and it's a shame. It's a shame.
It's sad to see. And then you got another big team hit, Blackburn.
Aye.
But your old mate Morgan, Tony Mowbray phoned you up, asked you to come.
Like that, I had a time when before I went to Bury, I was meant to go. So Owen Coyle was manager at the time, and I went in there and I trained for a week, but I ended up getting to the Friday and they were doing 11v11. I was standing aside watching all the rest of it, and there was a bit of a power battle between him and the chief exec. The chief exec was desperate to sign me, we'll get it done. Owen Coyle wanted to sign me, but I think he wanted the date in his terms and his time. By the time it all materialised, Owen Coyle got sacked. So he was gone, and then I went to Bury. And then Tony, just as I signed for Bury, Tony Mowbray got the job at thing. I was thinking, I could have ended up there. But anyway, it got to the summer, I went in on trial for a week. You know what it's like when you go on trial, it's fucking horrible.
The worst.
They say it's not a trial, but it is a trial. Mm. You're getting watched non-stop. Went on trial for a week and ended up signing. But I was told from the start with him, like, we've got a young lad, Ryan Iambe, the owners get involved with so much things. Not so much there, but just he's going to play. They probably think they can get some money for him, so I knew I'd have to fight for him.
Who was your top players at Blackburn then?
Big Charlie was obviously the captain at the time. Danny Graham was there. They kept, to be fair, they got relegated that year and they kept a majority of them.
Players,
Alec Bennett was there, Corey Evans, an unbelievable player.
What's Danny Graham like as a guy?
Great guy. When I first went in, I thought he looks as if he could be a money guy and stuff like that, but nah, he was class, mate.
Was he bad?
That was a great dressing room. Great dressing room. Everybody was Bill. Craig Conway, like, run the dressing room in terms of, no, like, he was in charge of the fines and stuff like that, and it was brilliant, mate. Really good.
And then another tough time, your last club, Bradford. Captain there as well. We need to get that in.
What captain there again? I've been, to be fair, I've captained every club I've been at, except for Blackburn. I was captain at Birmingham, which is fucking unbelievable to say that. It was tough there. Went in under David Hopkins again, went in for a week training. They wanted to sign me, and they offered me, the owner back then was a guy running, it was a shambles, offered me like £300 a week. And a club at that size, I'm thinking, come on, at least fucking give me a respectable offer. So it would cost me £300 a week to get from where I was, staying in London to Bradford. So I ended up speaking to Hopkins, he got it sorted. I went for, listen, it wasn't much more, but I went there and I played games, done well. I was captain, Hopkins left, and just didn't click. It was just one. I kept saying to the boys, this reminds me of what it was like at Swindon. That we had a good team at Swindon.
Yeah.
We had a great team at Swindon. We had a half decent team at Bradford, and it just didn't click. And things just got bad to worse, and it didn't happen.
Right, before you go, mate, you used to pick Paul Slane up, obviously, you know, on the show. Tell us what he was like as a kid.
By the way, before we get into the funny stuff, Slaney was a fucking good player.
You said that.
And he,
I can't remember him.
He was a good player. I used to pick Slaney up at he was a good player. Right. Used to pick Slaney up at the Hilton, and what a boy, man! I remember back then he was a back in Elves. I used to say, what we didn't do, what Jinko did. I used to make things up, knowing that he didn't like it. So if it was like tight possession things, something like that. No, I heard the Lenny and stuff like that talking yesterday, saying I was going to have a lot of tight possession things today, and that's what would be good. No tight possession, no. I'm like, aye, so I used to just make stuff like that up, and some days I would turn up there and be waiting for fucking half an hour, nowhere to be seen, and I'd get into Lennoxtown, and Lenny would know I'd pick him up, and he'd be like, where the fuck's Lenny? I'm like, I don't know, I waited there for half an hour, but he's not there.
Where was he?
Fuck no, he's wouldn't turn up for weeks, man.
He does that now when I pick up that you're waiting for ages.
He just, no, but at times, he literally wouldn't turn up for weeks. And Lenny be like, where the fuck is he? And he was just not right. He was some boy, he was a great guy, man.
Well, he was saying, don't pass me the ball today, that, would he?
Aye, he'd say, don't pass. You get to train, like, you've been his team, you're like, listen, see if I go wide, and look at me and like reverse it to somebody else, and I don't pass my ball. He's fucking
what a guy. Yeah. Cass, thanks very much, mate. Pleasure.
Brilliant, mate. Appreciate it.